Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, it's another edition of the Legacy and Faith Show with estate and tax planning attorney Paul Grant. Hi there, Paul.
Hello.
Hey, good to see you once again.
Thank you.
You're revisiting a subject this week that is very important to your firm, and that's the idea of developing a relationship with your client. Now, this doesn't mean, or does it mean, maybe going out for coffee every once in a while?
Well, we can do that sometimes, too, if we're going to be that type of friend. So that's good. I actually have many clients that become friends.
Yeah, you do have a lot of different standards that you employ in your firm that really sets you apart from other companies. So tell us why the power of relationship is so important in estate planning.
Yeah, you know, we have a philosophy, which is I've looked at the traditional way that most people do estate planning, which is kind of the it mentality. You sit down with somebody, they do paperwork, you sign it, you think you're happy, you think you're set, and you've done it, or you've got it. Meaning the document is going to somehow save the day or keep up with everything. And unfortunately, it's a mentality that the legal profession is guilty of creating, instead of finding a way or creating a way that we stay engaged with the process of the client's life. Attorneys have really become document producers. Now, it's good to have something. So let's start there. It is better to have something than nothing. It's always better to have something than nothing.
Because half the people have nothing.
Half the people do. You're right. That's exactly correct.
No will.
Yeah. And that statistic comes from if you're 65 and older, half of the population still has no estate planning whatsoever. So when we talk about estate planning, we're talking about a will, a trust. One of those documents are your disposition of assets, documentation.
Power of attorney.
Yep. Financial power of attorney, medical power of attorney. What happens if I have a health incident during my lifetime? As a matter of fact, if you reach the age of 65, there you have a 75% chance or more of having a health incident where someone will need to come alongside of you and help you in your life. So that's a staggering statistic, 75% chance that you're going to have a health incident where you're not going to be able to be in full control of either your health decisions or your finances, and yet there's still no estate planning around who you're selecting for those decisions. Who do you want to manage your finances? Who do you want to manage your health care? And then there's an end-of-life document, which is if you are on life support, what are your desires surrounding that. Now, those are the bare bones documents that everyone needs. There's more documentation in my firm that we give, but those are the foundational documents that every person needs to have. If you're over the age of 18, actually, in Washington as an adult, why? Because my girls are 25 and 27, I don't have a legal right just because I'm their parent, I don't have a legal right to make healthcare decisions until they empower me to do so. So we have college plans for younger adults. And so there's documentation that everybody needs in order to be successful for the just in case. And that's really why estate planning is so important. Just tell me the day that you're going to have a health incident or that you're going to die. And we'll back out. I need about 45 days to get documents in order properly, go through the proper interview process, everything else. And that even that would be a rush job. So just call our office 45 days before you have a health incident or you're going to die. And we'll have everything set for you. It'll be great. But of course, we don't know. That's why we need to have clear legal authority over what our desires are. So yes, if you want to roll the dice on a 75% chance that you're not going to have that health incident, good luck with that. Or if you want to roll the dice on a 100% chance that you're going to die, well, do that too. So we need documents. We need good estate planning one way or the other. So what we've noticed is that when someone gets the it done. I've got it. I've accomplished it. I did my grown-up deed. I listened to Paul and he told me to get documents. I got them. Then we are lulled back into complacency with those documents when we don't keep them fresh and when we don't keep them in, when we're engaged with them. So we've looked at this scenario in estate planning as a whole, and I look at it and say, there's something better. So document after document has come across my desk and they're 15, 20, and sometimes 30 years old. So let me ask everyone out there, has anything in your life changed in the past 30 years? Well, of course, everything has. Yeah. Has anything changed? Do you think? Now, you may not be an attorney listening to this, but I think you might get this answer correct as well, which is, has anything in the law changed in the past 30 years? Mm. How about in tax law? And so how do we believe that a 30-year-old document, a 20-year-old document, even a 10-year-old document would still accomplish the task that we set it to do way back when we created it? And so there's a gap here of we got a document, we're lulled into complacency thinking that we've done something good, which you have, and it's better to have something, even if it's old, which is better than nothing, but there is a better way to do this. And our philosophy, what we've seen, is that every transition, whether you have that health incident or whether you die, every transition is easier for those that need to help you during a disability or those that you leave behind, you know, when you die. The transition is easier on both of those accounts when we have good estate planning done and when it's done right. Mm. So there's the gap. There's really the philosophy, the heart of saying, well, how do I do this better for people? How do we get something that an individual can lean into and know that it is in it in the industry at its highest standard? So I don't want to lean upon a 30-year-old document myself, and I don't want my clients to be leaning upon a 30-year-old document because that influences downstream your family. Anyone who's going to help you and assist you during your lifetime, if you end up having that health incident, if you start struggling with memory issues, and the list goes on for a lifetime. And when you die, I think actually one of the highest values that my clients have expressed to me is I don't want to leave a mess behind. Mm. And so if that is a part of your thought and you have a document, your thinking may have been right in creating it, but has the document kept up to ensure that everything is aligned properly? So our philosophy is we want to remain engaged because there's just way too much that changes. There's way too much that goes on in somebody's lifetime. So there's our philosophy of what we have seen in the marketplace and the gap that we're trying to fill so that we can have more successful estate plans.
Okay, well then what does it look like to have that ongoing relationship with someone like you? What kinds of things would that mean?
Well, so to have an ongoing relationship, there's three things that we're always trying to address. So number one, and I've mentioned them here in kind of our opening discussion, which is there's always things that change in a person's life. So family dynamics change. Our kids are not the same as they were even just 10 years ago. So my girls, when I created an estate plan or when I updated my estate plan 10 years ago and they were 15 and 17, just a little bit has changed with my girls from that to now when they're 25 and 27. And as I watch families and I help assist families, my girl's life is going to change quite dramatically again in the next 10 years. So number one, there's always family issues that are changing and maturing. Some of those things are for the better. So my 15 and 17-year-old daughters, I wasn't quite sure what they would do with finances. 25 and 27, I'm pretty confident that they continue to spend. I have hope in 35 and 37 that they will temper that, because each age group has a different philosophy of how to use money, what's important with money. So do I need to have an estate plan today that is going to be slightly different in the future, because there may be different things I want. If something happened to my wife and myself, then, and by the way, when this airs, it's my anniversary, 31 years. So happy anniversary to my wife who never listens to my show. And so,
me neither.
Yeah, correct. Exactly. So, but nonetheless, I have witnesses that I wished her a happy anniversary on our 31st wedding anniversary. That's not too bad, right? 31 years?
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
I'm at 30.
Okay, fantastic. So, all right. Sorry about that sidebar. Where was I? Oh, yes. Family's changing. So when my girls are in their 30s, I'm hoping that I can make different adjustments to with what my wife and I would leave them if it's our day and it's our time to go see our Heavenly Father. I want to be a good steward of what I leave behind. That philosophy, and maybe you've been listening to the show for a while, that philosophy of stewardship in my mind doesn't end. It means I am a good steward with what the Father has put into my hands to make a strategic plan to ensure the safety net of my family financially long term. It's not just a what do I do? How do I cut out the next coupon? Okay, that's being frugal. I'm not so sure that all of our frugal people are good stewards. Good stewardship actually in the New Testament means to be an administrative giver. So you're administrating your finances with the passion of being generous. That is actually the term used for stewardship. So I believe that works in the future as well. If something happened to me, how is my last act of protecting my family being a good steward? So my family is constantly changing and will continue to change. How can a stagnant document keep up with the changing landscape of my girl's maturity or your family's maturity? And that could be good or bad. It could be that someone has health incidences over the past couple of years. One of my daughters has had a lot of health incidences that we didn't expect. They came out of the blue. And so if she needed the type of help she does now, and the estate plan was created 10 years ago, it would have never accommodated for that issue. So things change. What if we have a family member that is an addict? What if they recover and get well? What if their identity shifts to become more Christ-like instead of identifying with their addiction? And what if they get healthy and move forward in their life? How does that change the landscape of your estate plan? Or if it happens in reverse? So family is constantly changing, and we need to be aware of these changing and shifting things in estate planning so that the document can be available and updated to meet that new challenge, because there's always going to be a new challenge in life one way or another.
Okay, talking about the power of relationship in estate planning this week on the show, and if people are intrigued by your approach to these issues, Paul, how do people get in touch with you?
Head over to our website, legacyandfaith.com, and there's past podcasts, upcoming educational opportunities, ways to communicate with us. We'd love to hear from you. Head over to legacyandfaith.com.
Back with more of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant in just a moment.
Can I avoid probate? Will I lose everything if my health becomes compromised? How do I preserve what I have for me and my family? Will the government take it all? This is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. These are some of the most common questions we get on a daily basis, and there are solutions for all of these issues. It is time for you to protect your family and what God has placed under your stewardship, and we can help. Go to legacyandfaith.com to find out more about our services and upcoming educational opportunities. That's Legacy and Faith.
Your photos, slides, scrapbooks, and home movies are invaluable and irreplaceable. Barry Kenny here with the Bear Services. call us to save them as digital files to be stored electronically and shared liberally. We will even come to you so they stay in your possession. Go to thebearservices.com for more information. That's thebearservices.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant, and continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, and Paul is bringing us through the importance of the power of relationship and estate planning. And you wanted to talk, too, a little bit about three things that change.
Yeah.
And how this is important in estate planning and the power of relationship.
Right. So I said that there are three things that we're always keeping front and center in our program. And the first one was families always change. And so we covered that. We understand that nothing is going to be stagnant as our family continues to mature, as we enter into grandchildren into the mix, and the list goes on. So the second thing that happens is that there's constant changes in the law that I have to deal with and in taxes. So it's what I do. It sounds crazy, but I actually like what I do. I like watching the law. I actually like talking about taxes, so don't get me started.
There have been some changes you've talked about on the show recently with Washington state law.
Yeah, that's right. There's a new Washington state capital gains tax that was implemented. That was just aired recently. So again, head back to our podcast and re-listen to that show. But there's always changing legal issues and tax issues. So one of the questions I talk to clients about is, how are you personally going to know if there's been a legal or tax change? And of course, most people chuckle and go, well, I don't. And it's okay. Well, that's correct. That is my job. So therefore, let's say that there was a tax adjustment that we needed to make in order for the estate plan to work right, in order for it to actually mitigate taxes. You know, good estate planning can actually mitigate or eliminate most taxes when we do it well. A will, there's no tax planning in a simple will. It is simply a disposition document. It can't do any tax planning. It can't do anything for the family other than direct money to the proper people. That's a good thing. We got money to the right people. It tells us who's going to close the estate. It gives court instructions. It would list guardianship. So those are good, valuable pieces of information, but it can do nothing with tax planning. Mm-hmm. So therefore, how does the average individual know when there needs to be an adjustment in the estate plan for tax issues? Washington State, I think it was 2006, if my memory serves properly, introduced the Washington State estate tax. Do you know how many plans, if they're 15 years or older, are now edging on 20 years, that I have seen with absolutely no Washington State estate tax planning? So then I look at people and I go, there are some tax clauses in here, but they're not very strong. I might be able to make them work. Now, you don't want your estate planning attorney to look at you and say, I might be able to make this work. You want your plan to know it's going to work. You want it at a level where it is confident that the tax planning is secure. So old planning doesn't have current tax law.
Right.
It doesn't have the proper current legal issues updated. So that's the document that you're leaving your family with when you do not stay on top of estate planning. Things change in the financial power of attorney realm just 3 years ago. Do you want to have a financial power of attorney that is 5 years or older with bad language or older language? The answer is absolutely not. That you are setting up your agent, the one who you name in your financial power of attorney, to have a bear of a time to get banks to accept an older financial power of attorney, because banks and financial institutions are insecure with old language, and they're insecure with an older document, not knowing if something else has been created in the meantime. Because why? Most people update their plan. So therefore, they get very nervous accepting an old document. So do you want a document that's going to be looked at and accepted when your assets are needed, but you can't go to the bank anymore, so you have to send your agent on your behalf? Or do you want that agent to wait 3 and 4 weeks? Look, I have had banks, I won't name them, but banks that take over a month to approve a financial power of attorney. Yeah. Now, that is just ridiculous, but that's what you're putting yourself in a setup for with bad documentation, with outdated documents. Don't do it. It's a simple solution. Come on in. Let's sit down. Let's look at your estate plan. Let's review it. If it's not me, then go back to your estate planner if they haven't died or retired. Find someone that you trust if it's not me. But do estate planning, please. And so you having outdated documents will slow the process down. Again, is it better than nothing? I'm still at the place where I say yes, because if you don't have anything, I got to go get a court order to put someone in charge of your bank accounts when they're not there. So it's still better than nothing, but updated documents are far better. So that's number two, is that taxes and the law keep changing and your estate plan isn't keeping up with it. And it's going to put you behind when you need the document. Number three, very briefly, is that I keep getting better. Now, not just better looking. Of course, you can't see me. I'm on radio. But my wife would say I'm getting better looking. And that's because, like I said, we've been married a long time. So, and she has to say that. But I keep getting better. As a matter of fact, you would expect for me to continually get better. Why? Because I am paying attention to my skill, my craft. I do watch the law. I do watch taxes. I go to a lot of additional educational opportunities. I spend four weeks a year with an additional education. That's a lot of time for to be listening about taxes and estate planning. Trust me. So I keep getting better in my skill. So I believe. So if I learn something new, how do I get it to you? Do you think an attorney comes back to you and says, hey, by the way, I learned something new. Let me put it into your estate plan. No. As a matter of fact, unfortunately, estate planning attorneys are notorious for not communicating. I've only had a couple people in the 15 years of having a law firm in the Pacific Northwest that have told me that an estate planning attorney that they used in the past has actually one way or another communicated with them. Only a couple. Now, that's pretty sad. One of them was just recently. This person sent me a newsletter about every 2-3 years. Okay, you know, I applaud that attorney, whoever it is. That is far better than 95% of what I hear.
Just sending a newsletter.
Just sending a newsletter every 3 years, not even having anything to where they're actually doing the work. So what does this look like? You said, what does it look like to have an ongoing relationship with an estate planner? So those are the three buckets that we're always trying to put in front, which is your side of the table is changing, my side of the table is changing, and I'm changing. So therefore, we need an estate plan that keeps up. So in my program, in my system, which, by the way, there's only one other law firm that I know of in all of Washington, to be honest, that has a relationship program that is strategic in assisting clients to keep their estate plan up. And I introduced that law firm to this entire process. So, but regardless, most attorneys are still document producers. So every year we send our clients a list of all the major decisions that they've created in their estate plan, in their trust, in their financial power of attorneys, in their health care. And we ask them, what do you have on your side of the table? What needs to change? Have any of the relationships changed? Yes, this person is having some health issues or some personal issues. We want to replace that person. You know, it happens that your agents, the people you name that you're going to trust in your estate plan, actually have life too, and it goes on for them. And sometimes they're not in the proper position to actually help you. So we need to update those things. And then I watch over the law and the taxes. We send a financial portfolio to our clients. We are not investors. I am not a financial advisor. We do it for estate planning purposes. This is what your tax looks like. This is what's in your trust. This is what would happen if you die. We need to know what's in your estate to keep on top of it. So that is sent. And every year we meet with clients and review what is going on in the firm, what's going on in taxes, so that we as the attorney can make the legal adjustments when necessary. So there's so much more. We're going to have to add another show. So come back next week and let's finish this discussion on why does relationship matter in estate planning?
The power of relationship in estate planning. We will continue, like Paul said, next time. So people are intrigued, though. They want to get in touch with you maybe even before then. How do they do that?
Yeah, head over to our website, legacyandfaith.com. There's past podcasts, upcoming educational opportunities, which is where you would start in our process, and ways to communicate with us. So head over to legacyandfaith.com.
Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.